The question I'm asked by a lot of people I meet, my work, places that I go, are always the same thing. What is wrong with denominationalism? I often read or hear, attend the church of your choice. It's very common. You see it on the news all the time. I also hear that people want to find a church that suits their needs. I could be an hour on the topic by itself, but I won't. I'll spare you on this one. And also, the most famous is probably one church is as good as another. And as our brother read the scripture this morning in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." As you see, I'll be using New King James as my translations. So we see Jesus saying, "my church." In Matthew 15:13, "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." Again, what's wrong with denominationalism? It has a human origin. Lutheran example comes from Martin Luther himself, and actually, if you go back and you read some of the statements that he said, "Don't start a religion after me." But of course, man did not listen to him. The Methodist, John Wesley, as some of us are unaware of, and I'm only going to focus on a few, like the Baptist, which is John Smith. And some people do spell that S-M-Y-T-H-E, but I couldn't find that. The Lord's Church is of a divine origin. We know that it's spoken of in many ways. I have some other names, but we'll talk about them when my slide comes. So I'll be prepared, put my paper to the side. Again, in Matthew 16, he said, "On this rock I will build my church." Zechariah 1:16, "Therefore thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts." How could one church be as good as another when the Bible speaks of only one? I'll be going through a lot of scripture, so please bear with me. What's wrong with denominationalism? It follows human creeds. The Luthers use the catechisms. They follow those as though it is the Bible. The Methodist has the disciplines, the journals that they use. And the Baptists have, of course, the Baptist manual, and they follow that to the T. And actually don't pay much attention to certain scriptures in the Bible if they don't believe it applies to their manual. But the Lord's Church, what do we use? The Bible. That's all we use. Yes, we have study materials. Yes, we use study aids. But if it's not from the Bible, we shouldn't be using it. The Bible is the sole source for everything that we do. Jude 3, "I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." Can you read this good? Okay. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God," that is, God breathed, "and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So this means that the Word of God can be used for everything we do every day of our lives, no matter what it is. I know a lot of people have said to me, oh, the Bible's written almost 2,000 years ago, and it doesn't pertain to the things that are out there in the world today, but believe me, it does. It has every answer you can ever imagine. And the wisest man that will ever be said there's nothing new under heaven or under the sun. So the word of God is complete. In 2 Peter 1:3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Simple as can be. Easy to understand. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Again, what's wrong with denominationalism? It started at the wrong place and the wrong time. There are so many different world's religions today and so many different religions that claim to follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the list just goes on and on, and it's in the tens of thousands. And that's not what Christ said. Lutheran was started in Germany in the year around 1520. And the Methodist was in England around 1739. And the Baptist was, of course, in Holland around 1607. When did the Lord's Church start? It started at Jerusalem. Pentecost after the crucifixion. People want to say a time from 30 to 33 AD, I believe, is what most of the scholars say. Zechariah 1:16 says, therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it. Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And in Acts 2, and then also in Hebrews 1 and 2, it began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And in Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, it also refers to the last days. And what the Bible teaches, we've been in the last days since the church started at Pentecost. What is wrong with denomination? It wears a human name. Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, etc. Like I said, the list goes on and on. And I don't wish to offend anybody, but I just want to teach and go through what the Bible says and only what the Word of God says. The Lord's Church wears a scriptural name. In Acts 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In Philippians 2:9, it says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. In Isaiah 56, verse 5, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2, it says, you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. And this is the most famous name for where we get the word Christians is in Acts 11:26. And you can see I skipped down. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And this is the only title as the brother that's a preacher of ours and a blessed friend that he can find in the Bible. It says, the churches of Christ greet you. In Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. I've had a lot of people say, well, there's all these different names of the Lord's church found in the Bible. Well, I want to tell them that it's not names, it's actually descriptions and geographical descriptions. It says it's called the church 56 times. The body of Christ, Christ's body, over 50 times. Church of God or assembly of God, 10 times. The way, 7 times. The flock, 4 times. It's even called the sect of the Nazarene, 3 times. The general assembly, church of the firstborn, church of the saints, house of God, church of the living God, kingdom of God, kingdom of his dear son, kingdom of Christ and of God, and the list goes on. And also, like I was saying, geographic descriptions, the church that is in their house, Aquila and Priscilla, the church of Judea, the church of God and Christ Jesus that are in Judea, the church which was at Jerusalem, the church that was at Antioch, Centria, the church which is in Corinth, Laodicean, Thessalonica, and the church of Ephesus, all descriptions. But that's not the title of the Lord's church. The only one is in Romans 16:16. What's wrong with denominationalism? It makes the Lord's Prayer a mockery, and it's not the Our Father prayer that I'm referring to. It's John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, where Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Again, believe the same. You and I are one, and that they believe those who wrote the words down. In Psalms 133, verse 1, it said, behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. How can we be one and have religious unity and be divided into hundreds of religious bodies with hundreds of different beliefs? So what's wrong with denominationalism? It makes walking by the same rule impossible. Philippians 3:15 and 16. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. It makes the teaching of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 of no value. It says, I therefore, the prisoner Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through and in you all. Notice the emphasis on unity. We should be unified. Also note the seven ones. I just heard it the other day when the Bible refers to baptism, it needs to say it continually throughout, not 4 or 5 or 8 times. That's not sufficient. It needs to say it all the time. Well, it doesn't have to say it but once for us to believe in it. Also, what's wrong with denominationalism? It makes worship vain. In Matthew 15:9, Jesus said, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In John 4:24, it said, God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. That's what we say every time we come together, that we worship God in spirit and truth. We also say if there's anything that we do that that you feel is not scriptural, let us know. Let us know. And in Acts 2:42, it said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And now you have denominations that in the beginning, they didn't have musical instruments, but now they do. And we know by Ephesians 5:19, it tells us to sing and make melody from the heart unto the Lord, to the Lord. We don't need accompanied instruments. There's some that amidst the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We just went through that. Acts 27, upon the first day of the week, disciples came together. It tells us that we need to do this every Lord's Day in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. And they raise funds in unscriptural ways. We just covered that with our giving. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day, they always lay by in store. What's wrong with denominationalism? Galatians 1:6 through 9 says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Well, that's Wednesday in our Revelation class. And Brother Riley was going through the scripture, and when that angel of the Lord came to John, he fell down at his feet like to worship him, and he said, get up! I'm a fellow servant too. So, I know that my family has worshiped angels for a long time, and here it's saying, you'll be accursed, and I don't understand why or where we believe we should do that, even when the angel says, don't do it. What's wrong with denominationism? It perverts the organization of the church. There's places they have deacons. They don't have any elders. They have a one-man rule or only one pastor. And they're not talking about eldership. They have women elders, women ministers, women deacons, synods, councils, conferences, conventions. The list continues to go on. In Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. So here we know, you got to have bishops, another word for elders, to have deacons. In Acts 14:23, so when they had appointed elders in every church. Titus 1:5, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I've commanded you. What's wrong with denominationalism? It contradicts the plain statements of Scripture. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. In Matthew 7:13-14, when he's talking about the path and the narrow way, it's difficult and only few find it. And broad is the way that leads to destruction. Ephesians 5:23-27, the church is the bride of Christ. One groom and many brides. That's what you're saying if we're saying there's more than one church. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In Matthew 16:18 again, I will build my church. Ephesians 4:4, there is only one body. What's wrong with denominationalism? It perverts the work of the church. You name it and they do it. And one thing I always bring up was a denomination where we used to live there in Virginia. Maybe it was every quarter. They would have baptisms for burgers. And so they'd cook up a bunch of hamburgers and invite everybody to come down and get baptized. But as soon as the hamburgers stopped, so did the people. They're doing it for the wrong reason. What is the work of the church? It is preaching the gospel. 1 Timothy 3:15, Matthew 28:19. It is edifying the saints. Again, Ephesians 4:12 and Corinthians 14:25. Benevolence to the needy saints. My brother told me, make sure I don't say the Lord's funds or the Lord's money. It is benevolence to the needy saints, which we covered in 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. And the work is spiritual. John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." What's wrong with denominationalism? It wears religious titles. Reverend, Father, Rabbi, etc. Psalms 111:9, "He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." That's God. He's the only one that's reverend, according to the Bible. Job 32:21 and 22. "Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else my Maker would take me away." Matthew 23:8-9, "But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven." Peter, James, John, Paul. The list goes on. That's where we got the New Testament. Preacher, minister, and evangelist, and pastor. They're not titles, but they are descriptions of the work that those individuals are doing. Yes, you can call the preacher or the minister or preacher or evangelist. You can call them pastor, elder, bishop, but it's what they do. We need to focus on that, not the titles. I pulled up in the denominational parking lot not long ago, and there was pastor this, associate pastor that, the first wife, the second wife. There was all these parking. Then the handicap was way over here. I was like, all right. Didn't quite understand it all, but I was like, everybody has their own parking spot. What's wrong with denominationalism? It misuses and perverts definitions of Bible words. Baptism is purpose and action. Lord's Supper, it's a memorial feast. It's not Christ's literal body being transfigured. Fellowship, it's spiritual. It's not a social get-together. Worship, it's a homage to God. It's not entertainment. They invent their own holy words. Lent, nuns, cardinals, rosary, Easter. The list goes on and on and on. Seed faith, love offering. The rapture, the 7-year tribulation. They sound like they're from the Bible, but they're not Bible words at all. They're only man-made. Our plea, this is where I'm coming to a conclusion, is for New Testament Christianity. Obey the gospel of Christ. Hebrews 5:9, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Mark 16:16, who believes and is baptized will be saved. Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Matthew 10:32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Acts 22:16, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And also, not just those five steps, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And I like to add, and we go to worship. We come together, as Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembly. These are the things that we have to do. I thought I would show a picture, and when our brother did his lesson, I said, you got the same thing I got. A little different. The gospel enacted in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Jesus the Christ, he died on the cross, he was buried in the tomb, and he was raised for the sin of man. And as you can see to the right, the gospel reenacted in baptism, what some say obeying the gospel in Romans 6:3-4. In baptism, we repent of our sins and die to sin. We are buried in the water for the remissions of sin and raised in the newness of life. And so, as is the tradition, that always we want to offer the invitation to anyone and everyone that has not had an opportunity to obey the gospel, to put on Christ through baptism, to be immersed, to die of the sin and be raised in the newness of life, and to continue to walk with the Lord as his word tells us to do. And also for anyone that may have a need in their life that needs to be known, and they would like for the body here to pray for them. Whatever your need may be, we ask that you'll please come forward now as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.